Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is the Best Hang podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Welcome to the Best Hang podcast. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. We were supposed to all be doing this in person here at 299 Queen Street West in Toronto, Ontario. But Max instead is about 20 minutes away by foot. I don't know. In your home. Because you said this morning, can we do a Zoom? This weather is terrible. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Is it the rain? Did you feel like it would be an Uber surge? Did you want to walk it? Why are we doing this over Zoom, Max?
We wanted to walk it. The only reason why, I mean, I love doing it in person with you guys, but the walk is the treat. And when there's no walk, then it's like, you know what? We got some other stuff we could be doing around the house. Because the walk, if anybody knows Ash and I's routine, is a huge part of our productivity. It's not just about exercise. It's about brainstorming. It's about doing stuff. But if we're not going to be walking, if we're just going to be sitting in an Uber, then
it's not worth it. I walked from the bus station and this weather storm or whatever you're talking about is not happening. I don't know. There's nothing crazy going on. It's drizzle at best. I'm not even wet at
Maybe
all. My hat's not even wet.
This morning, I think it was, you know, and then I got thrown off for the rest of the day. Yeah.
I did get caught in it. I came in a little earlier today. So I actually, for our listeners, if you feel like the recording quality is a little different, it's because Shane and I are together here in the office and we're recording to GarageBand on a Mac because this morning I went to get all the recording gear. We would normally record on an H6. And I had to make sure I had the three microphones for the three hosts. So I took the mics out of the bag, including the H6. And because my brain at 6:45 in the morning barely works, I put the mics back in after the mic count and the XLR count. But I did not put the H6 back in. So that's why we're doing this. But my point is, I was on a very early train and I did get caught in this bullshit. I took like the underground path to Metro Hall and then just the walk from Metro Hall to work, which for people that don't know the distance, it's probably a 5-minute walk tops. Soaked. I was soaked like top to bottom. So it took me an hour and 20 just to get as dry as I am now.
Fair enough. Okay. I must have just caught it in the right period.
You got the right window.
You got in the right time. But anyway, weather talk done.
the most boring topic ever.
That's why
people tune in.
Guys, I want to talk about something possibly even more boring for our listeners.
Ooh, let's do it.
There's nothing more boring than grown men discussing the intricacies of their intramural sports
league. Are you kidding me? Oh, now you're making me mad. Okay.
But no. Let me finish. But there is nothing that I want to talk about more than Shane and I's intramural basketball team. We had a big game last night, and Shane is is sort of like the Phil Jackson of the league. He's a player coach. He's also playing his ass off. He's like the most energetic, like hardworking, like, you know, gets every steal, rebound. Like he's doing all the stuff that nobody else really wants to do, but he's also coaching the team and he drafted our team. And just for our listeners, before every week, he sends a scouting report of the team we're about to play. And it's literally, it's probably like 1,000 words long. It's like a long scouting report. And the thing is, there's only three other teams in the league. It's like we know all the players. You know, we've all played on each other's teams at this point too, because it's the third season of the league. So everyone like knows each other like very, very well. But Shane is so competitive that yesterday afternoon before our game, he texted me and he said, "Hey, Ferg is looking to see who's showing up on our team so he can strategize. So don't tell him who's coming."
Well, because you're one of the best players in the league, Max, if not the best player in the league.
That's not true. That's not true.
You're sneaky because you play in this. You almost act like you're not trying until you are. So although you're not fast, you're very quick.
Shane compared you to Luka Doncic the other day while we were at the desk.
I like whenever he calls me that, I get pumped up. I get, honestly, Shane, every time you say I'm Luka, I get like 30% more confident.
You played unbelievable yesterday. Max got the first 3 points, stole the ball, getting lamps. He's doing, he has the fastest guy in the league defending him. And I'm like, he's going to overplay you. And then Max is like, oh, I'll just backdoor. Max jukes one way, goes the other way. I just give him this easy pass and score in lamps. You must have had like 11 to 13 points yesterday.
Max, did you have a pep in your step? Like, is your because Shane is, I think, I know how much work is he put into drafting the teams. He's kind of like the Sam Preston of your league. He broke down everybody's stats because this league keeps stats. Like, for our listeners, we've talked about this league before. It's sort of like a, it's like an industry league, people that sort of work in and around television, film, all that stuff. You have four captains that draft these teams, but you also keep stats in this league. So there is information that you can go by aside from just the eye test. Shane has put in so much work that he's considered like the Sam Presti of the league, who's an amazing NBA GM. He's also a player coach. Max, do you feel like, or did you just have an extra pep in your step last night? Or do you feel like you want to run through a wall for Shane because he cares so much?
I think I look to Shane for advice throughout the whole game. I'm like, Shane, what do I do next? Like I think the whole team leans on Shane's leadership. And also he's pumping me up. Shane is such an encouraging coach. It almost feels like it might, like, I feel like, I know what it feels like to be your child, you know, cause you're very like encouraging. Like even if someone on the team's having a bad game, like someone in our group text at the end, who's like, oh, I didn't play so good. You know, I'll be better next week. Just like feeling a little down about his own performance. And Shane's like, I thought you felt you played great.
Oh yeah.
I thought you were awesome.
Me and that guy who, or sorry, I shouldn't say his name. Me and that guy who had a side chat. He took it out of the group chat and just talked to me because he was a little down because he didn't score that game. He's like, usually I like to get 1 point, but scoring doesn't matter. It's like, let Max, Pops, and Tom score. We're still offensive players. I'm like, I scored 1 point and went like 1 for 30, but I consider myself a very offensive player because I'm getting the ball in our hands so much through rebounding and hustle plays that I feel like I'm one of the best offensive players, even though I'm not scoring. So I'm like, that you're such a pest that you're helping our offense because the ball's in our hands 20% more because of all the unexpected things you're doing. So he's actually way better than he thinks that he is, but people put so much precedent on scoring, which is the problem with the team we played yesterday. So our team is perfectly balanced. Like we have like the Seinfeld of teams and you're like Jerry, right? I'm like Kramer.
Thank you.
But that team was just one Jerry surrounded by Elaine's. And you can't have a show like that. That show's not going to work.
But by the way, we do need to give Pops his flowers because he really did carry the team. Pops was insanely good last week. He's one of the biggest guys in the league, but he's got an amazing touch around the
back league. Back to me for a second, really, because Pops had the worst season in the world last year. Ferg out-rebounded him by 30 rebounds last season. Got 30 more rebounds than him. Pops only got 22 rebounds all season. I'm like, Pops, you could be the number one rebounder in the league if you just stay in your zone. He thought he was Klay Thompson last year. This year, he's in his zone. Full credit to him
for
following through with my plan and succeeding at the ultimate level. But still, you got to give credit to the coach.
Yeah, by the way, I do. You are comfortable enough around Pops to scold him.
Oh, I
you
did know? Call
even
him
if he's
an
having the game
yesterday.
Of his life. Yeah, because he was arguing with the ref God. And he didn't get back on defense, and then we gave up an easy bucket, kind of his fault. And then he's like, and you're like, you got to stop arguing with the ref. Get back on defense. Get back on defense.
Well, so I felt really bad because I always get angry at losing. So it's this person that I consider, I personify losing. So I'm like, fuck. And I yell at the fact that we're losing, but I'll never scold anyone on our team, never the ref. I'm complimentary to the other team. Even if I get fouled and it's not called, I'm very complimentary. But I messaged our whole team. I said, let's not get mad at the refs at all. It serves nothing. Pops feels like he's fouled one play, follows the ref, gets in his face as Bobby Light's getting a wide open layup on the other end. So I broke my rule. I walked up to Pops. I go, you're a fucking idiot. And I said to him, which I shouldn't have done. You know, I regret that. And I'm apologizing publicly.
It's a good public apology.
But we are comfortable enough. And I would have never done that to anyone else. But Pops and I have a shorthand, I'll call it, that I can do that and get away with it.
Okay. The last thing, I just want to, we might have to beep all of this out because it is sort of top secret information. This is the scouting report, the official scouting report for our team going into last night's game, written by Shane Cunningham. Billionaires, that's our team name. The Maulers are without a doubt the weirdest team in the league. Unlike our, quote, Moneyball team of elite specialists that gel together perfectly, they're a team of one strong rebounder, Bobby Light, surrounded by six small guards. Don't get me wrong, their guards are extremely good, but if we stick to our game, we can win even if we aren't hitting our shots. The last time we played the Maulers, we had a very tough time on offense, mostly due to me chucking up the ball and constantly turning it over. But because of our ability to out-rebound and out-hustle, we were able to secure the win. This time, let's be prepared for some intense defense by Chris Robinson, Nigel, and Ferg. Chris likes to face guard Tom, which had us panicked, frazzled, and forcing up terrible shots. Easiest solve is to have constant movement and everyone to set screens off the ball. They're especially valuable. Anyway, it goes on for another, like, 20 pages.
No, please read. Please read all 20 pages. I'm sure that our listeners would love to. I don't even know some of these guys.
Well, this is the thing. Also, I was reading the scouting report in the Uber on the way there, and I was like, I forget everyone's fucking name, so it's kind of useless. I got there, I'm like, who's who?
Oh, man.
Like, I know who everyone is, but I kind of forget who. You
but
know,
I briefed you one. I knew that, because you're kind of a newer to the league.
The thing that I love is, like, how clearly passionate Shane is about this league and the team that he's drafted. This is your second year being a captain?
Yeah, I'm no, first year being a captain, but I've won two championships.
Congrats, two rings. Yeah, you won a three-peat.
Yes, I do, desperately.
But I love how passionate and excited you are. And obviously, we all used to hoop together back in the day. And when this league started, I could not commit to Tuesday night because you don't even get home till like 1 a.m, right? Or something like that on most
Some
nights.
Cases, yeah. Yes, 1 a.m.
And it was like this thing. And like, Max, you're on the team, but you missed already like two couple games. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a hard commitment. But whenever I sit at the desk and because I enjoy hearing it. I love hearing the scouting report and how much Shane's thought about it. I have so much like, it's FOMO or it's not even, like I'm just like, I'm like, oh, I really want to be a part of it. But only when I'm talking to Shane and in no other, I just couldn't commit the night that it is. But you guys have this thing that seems really good. And you drafted a team of friends as well this year, even though Myers is on a different team and, you know.
Well, what I realized last year, we had definitely the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And we still won the championship. So it's like, if you can just get an edge by thinking analytically and actually coming up with a strategy, that's way more than the other guys are doing. Because the other guys are kind of just showing up and playing for the most part.
Yep.
But when you have a plan, you can actually win the game. So,
do you think another captain or someone else in the league now will match your competitiveness and actually start to study the numbers and put the team together in a more sort of thoughtful way than just stat leaders?
It's already happening.
All right. Well, hopefully that... What did we do? About 45 minutes on basketball there? It just felt like that. I think that what was...
Actually, speaking of that, we were talking last week after the game with Bobby Light, actually, because he was talking about a certain local band. I don't think I'm allowed to reveal it. Is doing a reunion tour this summer. Very specific to our interests. Mike, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. Did I mention this to you, Mike?
I don't know. I keep going.
Did we talk about this? Didn't. We're going to have to beat this. But basically we'll have to beat this, but is doing a reunion tour this summer.
Bobby might have mentioned this to me on set, actually, though. Hilarious, because he's tight with them.
But anyway, we're kind of like after the game getting into the ins and outs of this like potential tour and why the band wants to do it and all this kind of industry gossip. And then eventually I was like, I got to get out of here. Like, and then Bobby's like, hey man, sorry, I'm like four beers deep right now. Like I'm just having like the night of my life. Like he had played the earlier game and he was just hanging out to watch. I was like, I love that so much. Like the camaraderie of, you know what? I think my favorite part about, you know, these men's leagues is just like, just an excuse for guys to get together and have six beers. Because every time I talk to Dan Hamilton and your brother, Greg, that's what they're living for. They live for the game. And then the opportunity to go to sit in the dressing room and have six beers and then leave their car somewhere and then carry on with the night and actually not even go home. It's great. Like, I love it. Okay. This is unrelated, but I want to get your take on this. So I ran into an old friend. I was at an event. It was taking place at a hotel. I ran into an old friend, and it's very nice to see her. And she posted a photo on Instagram with the two of us. We just like snapped the pic. This is a few days later, so I kind of forgot that it happened. But like many people, she threw on like one of those filters. And especially, and like she was, I think I caught her off guard, but she wanted to kind of take the photo anyway. But tell me if this looks like me, because I didn't even quite recognize it.
Max. So no, that doesn't. It looks like some semblance of you if you had, like, maybe that could be your son. But it's definitely a much younger man.
It looks like the Disney star version of you. Like, that looks like somebody that is starring on, like, Josh and Drake or something like that. Like, you actually kind of look like Josh Peck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the person you're holding up has no pores. Like, that's just, it's emblematic of, like, someone who's prepubescent. So yeah. I think as a general rule, we have to say if we're going to put on the filters, fine, let's do it. But you can't, without asking, put a filter on someone else's face. I think we just have to make that a general rule. And I don't know how to do that, if that's even possible. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works on like Instagram filters or something, because, and I was happy for her to do it. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But it did feel kind of, I don't know, Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, when you're watching Curb, you see everything through the prism of Curb. And I was like, yeah, what are the, like, and then also, but then I felt rude not resharing it.
Did you reshare it?
Like liking it. No, no.
The press would have had a field day with that. Like,
do you like the way you looked in that filterized version of yourself?
I don't know if I did, to be honest. Like, I don't think I did.
I
like the real me.
Yeah, you're definitely more masculine than that guy. Like,
yeah, it's just like the gay Miami version.
Yeah, because you're wearing the floral shirt, and there's something just funny about the vibe.
I'm wearing a floral shirt.
That guy's not putting up 13 points in a beer league, I'll tell you that much.
No, he's definitely not. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Mike and I had a bit of a Saturday night, and I was going to talk about it on the pod. I was excited to not tell Shane about it at basketball, but then Shane just goes, Mike told me he couldn't resist.
Well, because
he's like, Mike found any excuse to bring it up. He's like, ooh, look at this pen. Do you know what I did on Saturday night?
Because stories for Mike, they kind of like, you know, money can burn a hole in someone's pocket. Sometimes stories are like that with Mike, and he gets itching for it.
Oh, man.
So yesterday, I was trying to avoid talking to Mike because I'm like, I bet you it's a good story. He's going to tell me. So I'm just like kind of boxing him out. But I left my my wristband on the ground.
Yeah.
And wristband is related to basketball. So Mike picks it up. He's like, oh, looking for this wristband? I was like, oh. And he's like, speaking of basketball, me and Nick Nurse. And he gets into this awesome story. And it had this hilarious part where you actually read one of my stupid scouting reports to Nick Nurse, which is amazing. But like, we can get into the story still. But just if my reaction isn't like how it should, it's because I've been told this.
I blew it. I couldn't help it. Once we were sitting at the desk, and he had known that we'd had dinner. So for our listeners, Nick Nurse, you know, NBA championship winning coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, now formerly Raptors, friend. You might have heard in a previous pod that we went out to Philly and stayed at his place and jammed and all that. He was in town. And so, Max, you can maybe take it from how it all got set up and how we all ended up at this awesome sort of dinner.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I saw Nick a couple weeks ago when I was in LA because the Sixers were playing the Lakers. They were in town for the weekend playing the Clippers and the Lakers. And we went out for dinner. We had this great dinner in Beverly Hills, which is kind of a story of its own because we met him at his hotel and we ended up jamming in his hotel room for a minute. And then we go to this dinner in Beverly Hills and it's a really eclectic group. Mark Trussman, who's a former coach of the Toronto Argos, who now coaches with the LA Rams, I want to say, who's coached in the NFL like for decades. And he like teaches a course on leadership at the University of Miami. Really interesting guy. His wife, his partner. Big John, who's a Stony Creek guy, who's Nick's assistant coach. He's there. And then Santi Gold, who, if you recall, was one of like the great breakout stars of like the kind of indie rock movement late aughts, like 2008, 2010, 2012. So when we were first coming out, I was like, oh, Santi Gold's like has a bunch of cool shit going. And Santi Gold's from Philly and she's lives in LA now, but Nick's like son is a big fan of her. So they've connected. And Nick's just one of these kind of guys that brings people together. And was just like, let's have a big old dinner. So that dinner was great. And also, executive producer, writer of Winning Time. Do you know the HBO show?
I love that show.
Rodney Barnes is his name. And he's like this really thoughtful, smart dude who's written and produced a bunch of stuff. And he was at the dinner too. So anyway, it was a very cool dinner. Anyway, Nick's like, hey, I'm going to be in Toronto next week playing the Raptors on Sunday afternoon. Let's get together and have a little jam. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I get my guys together, Tom Moffitt, my buddy Johnny Deshman, another Johnny on drum, Derek Hoffman on guitar, Nick on keys. I played keys as well. And we had a great jam for a couple hours. And then we went to the Keg. And by the way, shout out to the Keg. We fucking love the Keg. Shout out to Chantel who runs the Keg because she sorted us out at their King Street location. And we had a private room with the TV. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, Mike and Sean would love this because, you know, we had this great experience in Philly and they're kind of friends with Nick now. And Sean would love to like hear about the 76ers and any of Nick's thoughts. And that's when I texted Mike and Sean and I was like, can you guys come? And then Sean goes, Max, it's 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. I have children. I can't just leave Hamilton. Is it the Keg in Ancaster? No. Like, and then Mike is like, I'll be there. So Mike, take it away. What was your experience coming into town?
Oh yeah, no. Well, so like you shot a text out. Yeah. Like early Saturday after you're like, hey, do you got Keg dinner with Nick Nurse? Do you guys want to join? Blah, blah, blah. Philly crew sort of deal. And then, yeah, Sean was like, you're just finding out about this now. Like a little notice, please. Like I got kids and I texted Sean on the side and I'm like, are you going to make this happen? Cause the next day is Easter. So, you know, if your family celebrates, the kids are going to do a big egg hunt and all that. So it's not just any old Saturday. And also Sean had a ton of work. He works in real estate. So he actually was working all Saturday. So he's like, I'm slammed. He's like, I don't think I can. And I was like, I'm like, let me see how this could potentially work. And I sort of figured out, I was like, oh, Dan, I'm like, if I pop out, I'm not going to like make a night of it. Like I'll drive, I'll just hang. Cause honestly, like I love Nick's such a great, hang, like whether it's talking about like music or the league, or he's just so candid and open that it's always an entertaining and fun and insightful and funny conversation. So I was like,
hey. So Danica's your wife, you're running it by.
Yes, yeah. My wife, yeah. My wife. So I'm like, so basically just like, hey, you know, cause normally you'd set up the whole hunt and everything the night before. And it's like, you know, it's a fun thing. But I was like, I'm basically gonna be bailing on that to go for dinner. And she was like, yeah, no, that totally makes sense. That sounds like a lot of fun. Have a good time. And then you said, and then I'm like, all right, I'm in. And then you shoot back a text. You're like, oh, also, you're like, jam is at 5 o'clock. If you want to come like jam or whatever with the crew, so like two or something or three. I'm like, there's no way in hell I can make that happen again. Much like Sean, I have two kids. I was like, but I'll see you at the dinner. So I get out to the, I drive out to the dinner. And by the way, I hadn't like driven in downtown Toronto on a Saturday night at like fucking 8 o'clock at night in a very, very, very long time. Like I either lived right downtown, so I never brought my car around, didn't think about it too much, or I just have never, or I've been on the train. Like I'm just gonna, if I'm in Toronto on a Saturday night when I wasn't living here, like I'm not driving. Anyway, it was chaos. I forgot how insane downtown is. But so I was a little bit late to the dinner, you know, Ash texted and then you texted and I was like, I'm fine in parking, but don't wait for me order. Cause I also felt bad. I didn't know if you guys were like starving or whatever. And I come into the keg and
you can always count on me just to get orders.
100%. Never. I know you're not precious, so I wasn't stressing too much. Mm-hmm. You know, younger Mike would have been like, oh, I'm holding up the dinner, and traffic would have been like really giving me anxiety. But I was just like, eh, I'll roll in when I roll in, whatever. We're all just going to be shooting shit anyway. So I get into the keg. I actually hadn't been at that keg before. I think I drank on the patio, but I hadn't been in the keg. And they like, I'm like, oh, hey, I'm like in the back room. I'm meeting some friends. Like, oh, yes, of course. You know, and they're so nice. And they walk me through the restaurant. We go into this back room that's private. It's like a library. It looks like it's got these like, it's these giant bookshelves that look like they're almost secretly can be removed. And you go into another room. So it's like, everybody's sitting there. It's the crew, you know, it's small, small group is like you, Ash, like you said, Derek Hoffman, Tom, and Matt Frookman and Nick. And, you know, whatever, sit down, everybody starts, you know, we just fall into a groove, dinner gets ordered, lots of great stories, lots of laughs. What was interesting to me, aside from the hang, which was great, was I just assumed I was going to be paying for my own meal. So I just grabbed a little filet mignon, the 7 ounce, not the 10. And I was like, ah, oh, this will be good. I'm drinking Diet Cokes. But they're like, they are so kind and like there's like a reverence for like Nick. They're like, oh, coach, you know, thanks for you know, any, you know, thanks for bringing that championship to Toronto. They, you know, they got Max and Markel's in the house. They're just being so, they bring out 3 bottles of wine. They're like, oh, these are compliments of the house, all this stuff. And I'm just like, damn, I picked the wrong night to fucking drive. I'm like, of course, tomorrow is Easter. I can't even really get into this thing. But yeah, and then at the end of the night, like, or at the end of the dinner, we sat there for like a few hours. I was like, okay, like, are they bringing kind of the bills around? And then at some point, maybe I missaw this. You tell me, Max. It looked like Nick pulled he was going to pull his wallet out, but then you might have said something to him. And then suddenly you announced to the table, this one's on us, gang. This one's on Arkell's. Like, the keg has been kind enough to comp it. I was like, damn, all right. And then that was, and then it was like this nice, beautiful complimentary meal.
No, what I said was, once I was informed by the keg that they were comping the meal very generously, I said, this one's on Arkell's, guys.
As a joke? And, or was that serious?
As a joke. Oh, no, joke.
Yeah, I said, Arkell's got this. Nick, don't worry. Put your wallet away.
But like,
the keg just the keg decided just to comp it. Totally unrelated to anything. It wasn't pre-planned. You didn't know that was going to happen.
No, of course we expected to pay. No. So it was very, very kind of them.
So kind. But what a funny moment that happened is we're talking about hoops and stuff, talking about the Philly and, you know, the raps and stuff. And actually, me and Nick, remember that we ended up talking about PJ Tucker being on the team and then not being started by Dwayne Casey in that series in like 2018. And like, I remembered every detail. And I was like, I'm sitting there in the bar watching this. Like, why isn't Dwayne starting? And then Nick's like, I was thinking the same thing. He was like, I was telling Dwayne. And then I was like, I remember every moment of that. And Nick was like, I remember every moment of it too. These super random thing where like Kevin Love was killing Pat Patterson on the post in this game three of the second round in 2018. Like, it was just a really funny sort of moment. But the reason I bring that up though is because we were talking strategy and all this stuff. That's what segued me to bringing up the beer league. And I was like, actually, Nick, I was like, our friend Shane, I was like, he's got a TV show. I'm like, he's got a family. But it seems like sometimes the thing he cares about most is basically just being like winning this league. And he sends Max a scouting report, and Max pulls out the phone and he reads Shane's in-depth scouting report to an NBA coach.
Which is unbelievable that that happened. That's so cool.
This is why I'm so annoyed at myself for not saving this story for the pod. Because even the way you reacted yesterday when I was telling the story, it was like so, I could see how excited you were that it was like all that work you'd put in got read to like a championship level NBA coach. And it was just so funny at this table, the randomness. And he's reading names. He's like, Mark Myers, he's going to play Boston in the post. And so you got Nick Nurse just listening about the scouting report about Mark Myers and Franco. And Max is reading it with all this enthusiasm. But it was so funny. And Nick was just like, he was laughing and loving it. And then Nick joked, he was like, and Max, I bet you forgot the scouting report 2 plays into the game.
Well, it's so embarrassing and flattering for something like that to happen. It's when those two things cross. But what did he think of the report, you think? Was he impressed or was he like, oh my God, like this isn't even...
Well, I think it was detailed enough for him to make that joke that it's like, Max, there's all this good information and Max is going to be that guy on the team that just forgets it 2 plays into the game.
So, 100%.
Yeah, I think he was impressed.
I think he also did make a joke laughing at like Myers and Franco's like patented moves of playing possum in the post. Like he's like
overholding the ball.
It's like, that's their move, guys. They're going to fake it and then go or whatever. But so it was like,
pump fakes. Watch out for those. Good note.
That was kind of what he was saying. It was really funny. But it was, yeah, it was a sweet night. And it was, it's always lovely to get an invite. And also, like, I just think in general, even though that is sort of like a somewhat like a last minute disruptive, things are moving quick. It is what it is. It's like the easiest thing in the world would be to just like, stay home. I'm in Hamilton. Do I really want to drive all the way to Toronto, fight through Toronto, like traffic once you get to the Garden and all that stuff? And it's like, yeah, you do. Because it's like, I feel like there's 365 days in the year where normal shit tends to happen. It's like if Nick Nurse is in town and you get a bunch of friends that get to hang out at the Keg and like make jokes and shoot the shit for 3 hours, I think you just do it. You got to get in the car and go if you can make it happen, you know? And it was obviously, it killed Sean that he couldn't go because the next day he was like, tell me everything, you know, like to us. He was like, you know, he had that intense sort of FOMO. So it's like, if you can make it happen, definitely make the drive. And I'm really glad that I did.
Speaking of which, we have something happening. That's right, listeners. You're not mishearing. I said we, as in I'm actually involved with something that Max and Mike are doing. Because earlier you said, oh, yeah, I ran it by Mike and Sean. And the listeners probably thought, oh, I think he meant to say Shane. No, you were hearing correctly. Sean is our real estate friend who was involved in the last trip. But I am actually going on a road trip.
This is such a Shane trip, though.
To see, I think you should leave live in Detroit, which is Tim Robinson's hometown. And I didn't think I'd be able to make it happen because I'm actually going to St. Martin the day afterwards. So I had to run it by my wife. My wife. That joke never gets old. But I pitched it because, by the way, this trip we're going on St. Martin, it's like a brand partnership through this family tree. So we're, you know, we don't have to pay for a lot. So even the hotel night before we have covered. So Alex went through, you know, a lot of effort to make sure we could do that trip as cheaply as humanly possible. So with this trip, she's like, oh, you're going away the night before. I guess that's OK. How's it working? I go, got it all covered. I go, Max is probably going to drive us in that big Mercedes like Arkell's van. And I go, you know, he's probably got us rooms comp. I go, tickets free. I'm like, Ticketmaster doesn't even like have these tickets available to the public. Max has it all covered. Don't worry. She's like, oh, I guess that's too good to offer up. I'm like, yep, it's official. I message, I'm going. Then the next day I get messages. Ooh, hotels aren't looking too good. This is going to be a little pricier than we once thought, guys. And then it's like, oh, we don't really have a ride sorted. Can you guys have any of your cars available? Or we might have to get a rental car. So, you know, things are adding up a little bit, but I can explain that away later.
That's not how you pitched it to Alex.
I haven't told Alex yet. So I pitched her.
You're saving so much on the vacation to St. Martin, though. So just
exactly.
Very true. Equals out. Very true.
Yeah. No, good news is I think I'll be able to use my parents' car. So I think the car is sorted. It was one of those like logistical things where like my dad drives my nephew, so his grandson Kai, to soccer every Saturday morning, needs the car. And I was like, I guess that's that. But it's like an $8 Uber. Like, you know, like, and then my dad was like, well, if you want to pay for the Uber, I'll give you the car. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you the $8. Like, no problem. So I think that's sorted.
The funny joke was I was like, I put in the group. I'm like, hey, I'm down to pitch for like a rental car if we just want to like all join on a rental and go. And then Shane piped in, yes, I'm definitely cool with Mike pitching in for a rental.
I'm just trying to keep off the bank account because Alex and I share a bank account, so she's monitoring things. I can send you PayPal, though, or something. I think that takes a bit to kick in. But what's interesting, too, about this trip is I feel like it's a bunch of passenger princesses where normally none of us are the main driver. And I would say out of all of us, Max is actually the person most likely to drive in this scenario, which is weird.
Weird, eh?
Because manager Ash, she doesn't really drive. She's like me. She can drive, but doesn't. Mike.
She hasn't driven in probably a decade. Yeah. So like, yeah.
Mike doesn't really drive. Danica drives in his relationship and Alex drives in my relationship. So you're going to be the main driver.
So hold on a second. What is the percentage of you driving versus Alex driving?
I'd say it's 90-10.
Mike, what about you and Danica?
If Danica and I are both in the car, she 100% is driving because she just...
That's amazing.
Well, she likes the control. She doesn't like it when I'm at the wheel and I do not care. But I drive a lot. I bring the kids to places and stuff. But if me and her are both in the car, I 100% defer to her. She will drive because to me, it doesn't matter.
Love it. Same. Like if modern it's between me and Lucy, I'm taking the wheel, but I thought that was obvious.
But it's because I started thinking, I'm like, oh, for the drive to Detroit. I started that. I was like, oh, it's probably Max and I are probably gonna have to like break it up, like split the drive, unless you're just good to go the whole 2.5 hours. What is it? 3 hours to Detroit? I don't even know what it is.
It's like three. I can drive. And also
good.
Assuming the weather's fine, you know, that drive is just one straight boring ass road. But the thing is, when we conceived of this plan, we're like, oh, the ride with Shane and Mike is going to be so fucking fun. We're going to get to talk about so much work stuff. Basically, we're going to do like an extended version of the walk you and I had, Shane, which was just like, let's just like talk ideas. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we're going to hit an en route. We're going to get some fucking snacks. Like the whole thing is going to be
driving.
Great. We're
going to
go somewhere.
We might literally hit the en route.
Yeah. Let's keep it to Max.
Yeah. We'll let you drive, Max. Actually, Max, we drove together to, we did the Vegas to LA drive. You did the whole thing. That was like 3 hours or something.
It was great.
You're a good driver.
Yeah, I'm totally
fine.
How
are you on the brakes? Are you a hard breaker?
I don't know. I think I'm fine. I don't know. That. I don't think I'm good. I don't think I'm bad. I think I'm totally fine.
When Shane and I were doing, we would for audio mix, maybe we were doing something for Bulges where we had to drive out to like Etobicoke from Hamilton. And so he got it. We were driving long distances together for like a couple days in a row. And at the end, I was like, I asked because I was like, Danica sometimes finds my driving a little bit, you know, stop and go. I'm a little bit loose. Keep it moving. And I was like, how did you, what was your review? And he said, you can give it to them if you want. But I believe you said I was a heartbreaker.
Mike's a heartbreaker. You know, you're either a heartbreaker or you're not. I'm a very soft, genteel break person. And I really like that. That being said, Mike breaks way better than Alex. Alex is an extremely heartbreaker and does it more frequently. Like, you know how when you see brakes in the distance, you just assume, oh, I'm going to slow down a little bit so I don't hit that car. Alex assumes if she sees any brake lights that she has to slam the brakes because that car is coming to an abrupt stop. It's like the brake lights still shine the same no matter what, even if you just touch them or if you drill them down. So let's assume they're not going to an abrupt stop. But anyway, I am like on the basketball court, how I'm coaching and I'm not hitting any shots and I'm playing terribly at times. I'm like that in the passenger seat with Alex, where I'm like coaching her how to drive, even though I'm way worse than her. So it's a nightmare to be married to me.
I think my most toxic, this is one of my most toxic traits, is in an Uber, just muttering under my breath anytime the Uber driver doesn't drive 100% correct.
Yeah.
So if like they at, so if they're
route,
like,
is it route,
you know,
usually?
Not breaking.
Oh, you're talking about like
Mike's route. A route guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh no. Route. Not so much. I'm more like if they're not breaking early enough, I don't like it. If they're breaking too late, I don't like it. They need to be like on, I just don't trust the way they're maneuvering on a highway. And I go, and I'm always just going in the backseat. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy
I've seen
shit.
You do that before.
And then like on the third time, I'm like, holy shit. Like as if I was uncontrollable. I'm like, it's so
what's your Uber
bad.
Rating as a passenger?
You know, great question.
I just saw mine this morning because I got a report, a monthly report. I never had it before.
Can I guess what yours is?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that you are 4 because 5's the top, right?
You got it.
Okay. Yeah. I bet you're a 4.94.
Oh my God. You bang on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I am.
494? Yeah. How did you guess that?
Because I know I'm such a good, like, I'm almost too passive. And, like, we could be going the wrong way. And I'll be like, that's okay. You know, I just missed my train and I'm going to be an hour late and get in big trouble. But I know you tried your best. Like, I'm such a loser, like, too passive that I'm, like, through the roof rating. So I was like, okay, I'm a 9.7. So I'm like, Mike is probably three lower than me. Because Mike actually takes command. He's like, hey, brother, you're going the wrong way. Hey, do the right here. This is actually quicker. So Mike will take charge in a good way, but it's actually they can feel down about themselves and give a lower rating. So with you, Max, with this muttering, I say you're one lower than Mike.
So 9.3?
Yeah.
Sorry, 4.3?
4.93. Yeah. 4.93 is his guess.
4.93. I'm a 4.75.
Holy shit.
That is a lot of holy shit in the backseat. Yeah. You are so passive aggressive. They hate you.
What I was thinking was a lot of people probably recognize you in the car, so that probably ups your rating.
No one fucking recognizes me. There's no Uber drivers that recognize me. Okay. Like, none of them have ever recognized me.
Okay. But you got to play cool, I think, when a famous guy enters your car. Wow, yeah, Max, that is really terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's humiliating.
I know. Dude, Max, when you get in, do you do like the, hey, good morning, how you doing, goodbyes, like, you know, that kind of thing?
No, I'm on a call. Yeah, yeah. I'm making business deals.
They don't like that. You got to treat them like they're people, Max.
I know. It's so bad. It's so fucking bad. Yeah. The other like extra embarrassing thing is like inevitably like I'm muttering to myself. I'm just like, oh, fuck. Oh, whoa. Like, you know, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get out of the cab and then I inevitably like leave my sunglasses there and I call them.
Oh, no.
Fucking tail between my legs being like, oh, hi there.
The voice. Yeah.
That was me. Yeah, that was me. Thanks so much for the ride. Terrible mistake. Could you come back, please?
See, I have probably a terrible passenger rating because I'm doing all the shit you're doing, but to my wife, which is ironic because it's like the woman I love and have children with. I'm muttering the whole time, you know. And you, I bet, are a lot nicer to people you know.
Am I?
I feel like you wouldn't do that shit to me if I was missing turns. You'd be like, ah, Shane's kind of an idiot in this way. I understand.
Yeah,
it.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think you're right. I think you're right. But boys, I got to go.
All right.
We got to go. We're
going to wrap it up.
Good chat.
Great times. Great oldies.
Five
out of five pod. Max, you got a high rating with us. For our listeners, the next episode, I guess we'll be talking about the road trip to Detroit and Tim Robinson. And so hopefully that's very, very exciting. Podcast road trip.
But wait, to tease it.
Yeah.
Do you have something organized where I'm going to meet Tim, Max?
No,
okay. I see you're a terrible liar. Okay. Stay tuned.
All right. That's it. That's all. That's our episode. Stay tuned, listeners, as well, to get the answers that you seek. Thank you so much to Nathan Nash for putting this all together. Thank you to Manager Ash for everything she does. Guys, this was a great hang. Maybe the best.
And thank you in advance to the keg in Detroit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.